The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
Date in your diary. Now, speaking of dates, it's the, what is it today? The 21st of September. So 3 weeks into September, which means every school in the country back a full 3 weeks, some longer than that, about 3.5 weeks. And there has thankfully been no huge spike in COVID cases. Anthony Staines is Professor of Health Systems at the School of Nursing and Human Sciences in DCU. Anthony, it's good to talk to you. You were one of those, in fairness, who warned about a huge spike in cases in September. Those were your words. Are you relieved to be wrong?
Yeah, I'm absolutely delighted. I mean, our own work and NPHET's work suggested there was a real risk of a very substantial spike in cases, and that hasn't happened, which is what everybody wants.
Go on.
The number of cases is going up in the 5 to 14-year-olds, but it's gone down in the 15 to 24-year-olds, and it's more or less balancing. And you know, that is what everybody wants. Everybody wants this to level out and hopefully start declining. We've had fairly stable case numbers for a good while now. Numbers starting to come down over the last 2 weeks, and that's fantastic, and long may it continue. I'd be delighted if it came down faster. There is a risk that there will be further spikes, and Philip Nolan said I think last week, and Tony Holland said to the Oireachtas Health Committee last week, he felt the situation was still fairly delicate, and you know, we'd have to agree with him. I think the evidence is that it is fairly delicate, but it's so far everything's moving in the right direction, which is absolutely what everybody wants.
What's making it delicate in your mind? What worries you?
What's making it delicate is it's going up in some age groups and going down in others. And overall, the number of cases is staying around the same. So what that translates to is this thing they call the R number, which is really close to one. And the problem with that is we know from a lot of work on many infectious diseases over the years that can switch very quickly, either to a good place where numbers start going down very quickly, or to not so good place where numbers start going up very quickly. And we've seen that before a couple of times in the course of this pandemic. Now, we have a huge number of people vaccinated, and there's extraordinary level of uptake in secondary school age children, which is, I think, is going to make a very big difference to what happens here. We have seen in a couple of countries with fairly high vaccination rates, Israel and Singapore in particular, have both had outbreaks. But if we can get our vaccination rates up, continue to, I suppose, the Irish population have been very reasonable, mostly, with very few exceptions, very sensible, have mostly done what they were asked to do. You could argue the government hasn't done their bit in ramping up public health to control case numbers. I think that's a very fair criticism. But you know, the vaccination program has worked swimmingly well, and hopefully that will get us out of this. And case numbers will keep going down over the next couple of months, and we'll be back to more or less something like normal by Christmas.
When you talk about spikes then, I mean, are there particular times of the year, particular events you worry about when you talk about spikes, or is that just the R number again you're talking about?
I don't think it's particular events. I think the universities coming back, even though a large proportion of university students are vaccinated, I think that's going to stress the system a bit. I think public transport is going to stress the system a bit. And it's probably important that employers who can encourage staff to work from home to the extent possible, because that reduces the stress in public transport for people who can't work from home, but who need to use public transport to get to work. So
people using public transport, you know, by and large, are not primary school students. They're all vaccinated, almost.
Oh, yeah, they are, and which is what you want. And that does reduce the risk. But the problem with this virus is we still have a fairly high number of cases. So there's still around something of the order of 10,000 cases a week, which is quite a lot in a population of 5 million. That's not out of control in any way. But it's not an ideal situation. It'd be much happier if it was 100 cases a day or 10 cases a day. But, you know, there isn't. So given that, even if you're vaccinated, you have a risk of getting infected. and your risk of spreading it to other people. Your risk of getting sick is way reduced. Your risk of dying is way reduced. And your risk of spreading it is probably somewhat reduced. But we know from other work in America, in the United Kingdom in particular, that your risk isn't zero. Your risk is down, but it's not down to zero.
Yeah. Well,
and, you know, that's what we want.
Let me bring in John McGurk, the political commentator, because John, you know, you were quite critical of various voices at times, including Anthony, but Neffet as well. And while some of those projections we saw from Neffet didn't pan out, they were the ones who did say schools were safe and schools could reopen safely. I assume you'd like to thank them for getting that right.
I mean, you say their projections didn't pan out. I mean, on the 29th of July, Neffet and their model, it came out, there are two central scenarios. The scenarios they said, which were most likely, projected 5,000 cases a week and almost 300,000 cases by the end of September. Their central models are going to miss by hundreds of thousands of cases. Their most optimistic model is going to miss by something in the order of 50,000 to 60,000 cases and a couple of hundred deaths. So, I mean, when you say their modelling was wrong and it missed, I mean, their modelling was catastrophically wrong. Not only was their modelling catastrophically wrong, but that modelling led politicians to say, I mean, I'll quote Stephen Donnelly directly when he received the last Neffet modelling. He said, Ireland is facing a hurricane like we have never faced before. That was what Neffet told the country to expect. And of course I'm thankful it didn't happen. Any sane person would be thankful that the country didn't face a hurricane like we've never experienced before. The problem is, really, now that we're talking about continuing caution and continuing restrictions when there is no scientific basis for doing so in any modelling whatsoever. For example, we still have a situation where teachers in schools every day of the week are teaching through face masks. Timetables have been shifted so that not everybody is on lunch break at the same time, meaning people are working sometimes 8, 9, 10 classes in a row. We have students who are not able to see their teachers' faces or each other's faces. We have primary school kids who are being terrified out of their lives about a virus. And there is no end in sight. I mean, one thing I didn't hear from Anthony when he was speaking there was any end date at all, any point at which we can say, okay, this virus has now passed, we can get back to living our normal lives. And the truth of the matter is, from where I'm sitting...
But you can't say that with lots of viruses.
Sorry, can you say that again?
You can't say that. Like, I mean, the flu, we've never got to a point in human history where you can say the flu has passed.
No, you haven't, but we live with it. That's the point. Okay. I mean, what I'm saying is there's never a point where we're going to be able to say, let's get back to living the way we were living before. And as far as I can tell, and I don't want to put words in Anthony's mouth, but perhaps he can address this, is I don't know when, under his analysis of the COVID situation, when we can ever reach that point, because there is always going to be a threat from COVID. This is now an endemic virus. It has spread so far, so widely throughout the world. There have been so many millions of cases that there is no point. He's part of an organization that campaigns for zero COVID. Zero COVID is over, done, finito. COVID is here forever. So when do you ever get to the point when you say, okay, we now live with it and we stop imposing these, at this stage, frankly, absurd restrictions on children and schools? And he was talking about public transport and telling people to work from home indefinitely. I mean, what is the justification for that when everybody is vaccinated? We have a health service that's not being covered. And, as I say, the most recent modelling was, to put it kindly, bunkum.
Anthony, would you like to address those?
Yeah, I mean, the short answer is the consequence of allowing COVID to become endemic is it changes things. So HIV became endemic and it changed sex permanently. Now, that may change at some time in the future, but for the moment, sexuality is different to what it was before HIV came out. Sexuality changed when HIV arrived. It changed again when effective long-term treatment for HIV became a real thing, and it will presumably change again if we get rid of it. So people's lives change when there's a major epidemic or endemic infectious disease. You talk to people in, say, in Indonesia about dengue fever, which we fortunately basically don't get here. But people are well aware of it there, just as we are well aware of flu. And they take appropriate precautions which suit their environment. And they
is the short answer to John's question, when does life go back? It doesn't. With COVID endemic, it doesn't go back ever.
It doesn't, but it doesn't stay with long-term lockdowns. WHO said in March 2020 that long-term lockdowns were not a way to control the virus. We've been arguing that exactly that point since April 2020. This is our future is not one endless lockdown stretching out to infinity. Our future is there is a nasty infectious disease around the place. That's just going to change how people behave. There's good reasons why people should work from home, which have nothing to do with viruses, nothing to do with infections. People who want to work from home should be supported to have the option from working from home.
We get into a working from home debate another day. John, yes. I mean, you can disagree with Anthony on lots of things, but you can't accuse him of dishonesty. He was fairly blunt in his answer there. Life doesn't go back, and it hasn't gone back in other regards when it comes to other infections.
I mean, that's just not true. I mean, the Spanish flu is still around today. We don't cower in fear from it. Do you know, we constantly live with the risk every single day that it could be our last day. Do you know, you could get killed, to use the old cliche, hit by a bus when you walk out of the studio this evening, Kieran. It doesn't stop you going about your daily lives. Anthony mentioned permanent lockdown. I wasn't talking about lockdown. But I specifically mentioned some examples. I was talking about the masking of children in schools, the shifting of timetables, people being told that not because it's a good idea to work from home. I mean, I work from home. Great, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about people being encouraged to work from home because the virus makes life too dangerous. And Anthony's blunt answer, as you say, to be fair to him, is we can never go back, and that's the way it's got to be now with COVID. That there is, to use a phrase conspiracy theorists like, a new world order. Well, I don't subscribe to that. I don't think that's accurate. I don't think that's how most people feel. I don't think, most importantly, I don't think this is what we were ever sold in the beginning. Anthony compliments the people of the country of doing all they can to overcome COVID. They didn't put in all that effort so that they could live a life behind a face mask until the end of time. And I don't think people should or will do it. I think what you're hearing from Anthony, with all respect, is a fantasy of an entirely clean and secure and sterile world. I mean, yes, COVID is endemic. It's going to be with us forever. We've got to live with it. We've got to get back to normal life. We've got to say we have spent billions on a vaccination program to give everybody a boost for their immune system in fighting the virus. We know it is nowhere near as lethal as it was first feared to be. I mean, what people forget, Kieran, is that when COVID first came on the scene, the reason we went into lockdowns, the reason we fought all these battles with the scenes from places like Italy, where we thought we're facing a disease here that has a 10-15% mortality rate that could wipe out hundreds of thousands of people. I mean, Tony Holohan at the very beginning of the pandemic, and I don't want to misquote him, and I don't have the exact quote, so people can look it up for themselves, but he said something like, Neffet could not rule out tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of deaths or 75% of people getting the virus, or words to that effect. As I say, people should look that quote up for themselves. I don't have it. None of that came to pass. And we cannot continue to act as if it is still February 2020, which I think is the world, with all due respect to Anthony, that he and his colleagues in the Zero COVID movement are still in. And I also think, with respect to Anthony and his colleagues at the Zero COVID movement, and you know, he will have they have been wrong on just about everything since the beginning of this pandemic. I mean, we would have been in lockdown all summer, spring, all last winter, if it had been up to Anthony, and I don't think we should have been.
Very briefly, a final word, Anthony?
Briefly. In fact, our predictions of what happened have been more or less correct. We have opposed lockdown repeatedly and publicly for good reasons since April of 2020.
Anthony Sains, Professor of Health Systems at the School of Nursing and Human Sciences in DCU, and John McGurk, political commentator. 53106. I'd love to hear people's views on that debate. After the break, we're going to be hearing some more stories of no visitor access to hospitals and why patient groups want that to end.
Thank you.